and told them they couldn't do that. And we announced it for the stage numerous times. You know, people come in and they leave. You don't always have the same group of people there. So we made statements four times an hour.
Okay. And if there are some people that still aren't getting the message and are putting you at risk of losing your permit, what is a reasonable step that we should be taking to address that?
We ejected them from the park. We asked them to leave.
And do you draw a distinction between smoking cannabis or consuming an edible?
We don't allow the sale of edibles. Edibles aren't produced in a secure environment. We have no idea the cleanliness. We discourage the sale of edibles even more strongly than we do the sale of cannabis because of the health risks concerning the production of food products.
Okay. Other questions?
In the police report on page 4, it says in the second paragraph, I also told him that the announcement from the stage were encouraging people not to smoke marijuana inside the fences of the event, but to go just outside the fence.
That's not true. We never said to go outside the fence. And in fact, one of our volunteers told me that the security people that we had no control over had directed them to go outside the fence to smoke marijuana. So this volunteer of ours was told that he should go outside by the security people that we hired but could not supervise, that he should go outside the fence to smoke marijuana. But he didn't do that.
So the police officer's lying in the report?
It wasn't the, yes. And I think there are a lot of untruths spoken here today by the city representatives. I think all of our volunteers here are well aware of that. This is
further down on this page, it says that officers assigned to the detail kicked out 14 separate groups of individuals in the park between Salmon and Morrison Bridge for smoking marijuana. Those are all just happened to be there.
You know, I did not see that, and I can't speak to the veracity of it, but if we had seen it, we would have ejected them, and we did not see it. You know, we will follow any rules you give us. We're good citizens. Our intent is to put on a peaceful public protest to teach people about hemp for fuel. I really believe that's the reason that marijuana, the whole marijuana myth was created. It was because when we can grow hemp without regard to its THC level, and we can grow it with regard to its most productive seed and fiber production capacities. And high THC produces 20 times more seed and more than twice as much fiber as low THC hemp does. When we can grow hemp without regard to its THC content, we will replace petroleum and change the economic and environmental paradigm that our whole world lives under. And that's our goal here, is to replace petroleum.
I appreciate that. What we're talking about is whether or not you complied with the permit. And last year when we had this discussion, the Parks Bureau, after that, the Parks Bureau tried very hard, and we appreciate that you have also tried very hard to comply with the permit. And it's documented in several places that the permit was not complied with. So that's the question before us today, is whether or not you have the capability to comply with the permit. Now, I understand that it's very difficult to get people to, for instance, stop smoking in parks. We have a blanket exemption.
Prohibition,
thank you, of smoking anything in parks now. We also have a state law that says no marijuana consumption in public is allowed. So if we were to grant this permit, how would you envision those two rules being enforced at your next event?
We do exactly what we did last year, which was make frequent announcement, put signs like this. We'd have our vendors guarantee, as we did in writing, that they would not sell marijuana if we found them in violation. We would evict them, as I did the one time it was brought to my attention. And as Mr. Llewellyn said, we looked for smoking. If we saw it, we approached them and told them to stop. And if they wouldn't, we told them to leave. And we'd do that again, if so mandated.
So we would expect to have sales of medibles, and
we would not allow that.
And well, you did this year, so
Well, he.
So this officer that testified here was lying?
She said she was across. I don't think that that's true. I don't think that's true. If they did, they should have arrested that person. Yeah. I would have been 100% in favor of arresting the person that endangers our ability.
We're setting up the marijuana rules that you are advocating for us to arrest people for marijuana offenses.
If they're violating our right to have this event and endangering our event to educate people about hemp and cannabis, then we would ask the police to enforce the law that is being violated, certainly.
Okay. Other questions for Mr. Stanford?
I'm ready to move to discussion.
Okay. Let's move to discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Fish?
Yeah.
Comments?
So, as I said, this is the first time that I've participated, I believe, in a hearing on this issue. And one of the concerns I have, Mayor, generally about this is just, and something I'd like to take up with the council at a future date is whether this is the appropriate body to hear these appeals and whether there's a different process for hearing these appeals, because I have some concerns about the whole proceeding. But let's go to the specific issue in front of us. I have the highest respect and regard for the city professionals who are involved in this process and who been before us today. And I've had it as the former commissioner in charge of the Parks Bureau. I've worked with the permitting people. They're hardworking. They get usually very, very good grades from the community. And I have no reason to doubt the veracity of any police officer coming forward with documentation and testifying to what he or she observed. The concern that I have in this proceeding, Mayor, is number one, I don't think the record before us is where it should be. And you pointed out that it has stale information from a prior year. But I think a number of the questions that we asked of the folks before us, they're not unreasonable questions to get information about. And I'm concerned that the record before us was is frankly a little spotty and a little thin and in some instances not clear to me. So that's a concern, and we are bound by the record. And I don't think we asked unreasonable questions about activities and documentation. I think the context for me in evaluating this starts with the fact that at an event like this, we're talking about a gathering where the primary purpose is protected under the First Amendment. And in order to make sure that we never apply our rules in a way that infringes on First Amendment rights, I think we have to be very rigorous, in terms of the application of our rules. So I take very seriously our duty to go through the test and make sure that we're clear that there is a factual basis to support the action taken by the Bureau. I am also, along with Dan, frankly, a little concerned that there might be some inconsistencies in how we enforce these rules. And I'm not saying that's intentional. It may also be just catching up with new realities, the new legal climate. There has been a significant change in the law. So for me, personally, it comes down to a question of, is there an unreasonable risk? Has there been documented before us an unreasonable risk to public health and safety? And I can't honestly say that this record convinces me that we're at that point. And then the second question we have to ask is, have they failed to comply with the conditions? Now, in addressing a failure to comply with the conditions, I think it's important to evaluate whether someone took reasonable efforts and precautions and there were still violations of the conditions, or whether someone actively participated in undermining the reasonable conditions that were set. I am conflicted on that point because we've had compelling testimony on both sides, and I don't have a history with Mr. Stanford or the other folks that are involved here. I take people at their word when they testify. I think people are in good faith setting forth what they observed or what they believe happened. So at some point today, we're going to have to make a decision. And I will tell you that again, while I have the utmost respect for the team that brought this matter before us, I'm not persuaded that we have met the very specific conditions to uphold this, to deny this appeal. And what I'm more inclined, as one commissioner, and I'm only one vote, what I'm more inclined to do is to grant the appeal, but have an agreement that have a discussion about putting in place additional protocols to document any violations that occur. And I would like to have those documented in a way that's more rigorous than the record before us, with a clear understanding by the organizers that this is the last, that we're sort of on a last chance agreement. We want you to be successful. The goal is for you and any other applicant to have a safe and peaceful event and to be successful in your event. But that we have to have an understanding that if this is allowed to go forward, that we want to see some progress towards complying with the rules that we've established. And I believe the rules that we've established are, in fact, the law of the land. We're duty-bound to enforce them, particularly if they're minors at the event.
Let me expand a little bit and maybe affirm a couple things that you've said. You raised the question of who should hear this appeal, and I think we've talked about that because we don't get to do very many appeals of parks permits, thank God. But, I mean, we don't. We get to hear contested case appeals. Some of you maybe haven't been through this process, but, we went through this fairly choreographed process of appellant statements and rebuttal and all that, and that's because that's how the City Council does contested case hearings, and we do them all the time for land use cases, and we used to do them all the time for liquor licenses, another blessing that we don't do those anymore. But there's a difference here, and that is, I think we should hear these appeals. And the reason we should is because in this case, it's not the same kind of burden of proof as you have in a land use case. In a land use case, you have to prove that you've met the city's regulations. Well, obviously, we have permit conditions here, and those matter, and we want to make sure that they're complied with. But there are also big picture principles that are at work here in our decision, and I think, frankly, we need to make sure our Parks Bureau is clear about those big picture principles. And one of them is that the parks system in Portland, I believe, should always have big shoulders. It should always try to accommodate lots of different kinds of recreational choices and community gatherings. It is, Mike Abate and I talk about this all the time, it is the public space. And we hold all kinds of events and activities, some of which I like and some of which I'm really happy to participate in, and others I don't really care about very much or don't even like. I don't particularly like carnival rides, but we have a whole bunch of them in the waterfront park during Rose Festival. And a bunch of people apparently really love carnival rides, so they come and enjoy those. But it's a big principle for us that the park system ought to have big shoulders, everything from bocce ball to soccer to, all those recreation activities. And the same thing with community events. And in fact, when I was Parks Commissioner, we spent a whole bunch of money with the help of the Rose Festival Association to put a foot-deep sand base under Waterfront Park so we could beat it up again and again with thousands of people out there and then have the turf be able to recover quickly once it was reseeded and rewatered. And again, that's a principle that we've tried to carry on. Well, that means there really should be a bias towards approval to the most reasonable extent possible. That if it's a legitimate community activity and it can work, we should try to make it work rather than take that more strict regulatory approach. Let me say it a little differently. We also have a value of community over strict compliance in lots of things that we do. When you think about it, I was transportation commissioner and got in some trouble because I went on a ride along with a group called Critical Mass that were trying to make the case that it should be legal to ride a bike on the street. And it wasn't quite as legal then as it is now. And so we valued community over strict compliance in that case and didn't arrest people because they were participating in Critical Mass. Maybe a more familiar example in recent days, it's actually not legal to ride your bike down the street naked. but we allow about 10,000 people to do it every year in the World Naked Bike Ride, and the Police Bureau facilitates that, even though it's technically not legal to do that. Now, that doesn't mean, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we should take a laissez-faire approach to permit conditions, including not allowing smoking, not allowing smoking marijuana in parks where neither is allowed. But, again, I think given the poor record that we have here documenting the scale of noncompliance by people attending this event and the fact that we don't have any specific evidence that the organizers aided and abetted that noncompliance. It happened, as it happens at other big community events. You know, I don't think we have a good reason to deny this.
And Charlie, if I could just comment on the one point.
Apparently not.
Well, hang on.
If I can just comment on the one point. When I expressed earlier to you and during this hearing a question about whether this should come to us, it's in part because it wasn't entirely clear what is coming to us. And when we, as you said, we have very prescriptive land use proceedings where the materials that come before us say, here's the legal standard, this is what it means, here's the evidence in the record, and it's very rigorous. I have found it much harder in this proceeding to understand what's before us, what's the standard, how that standard's been interpreted, what some of these words mean, and then what's the evidence, the firm evidence in the record to support it. And so I'm happy to hear these things. I think this is a fascinating hearing. I think setting some clear expectations of what we want to come to council will be helpful for all the parties.
Mr. Fritz.
I think it would be helpful to get the information that the mayor asked for and that you asked for, Commissioner Fish. You asked for the 911 records and the calls to non-emergency. You asked for the incident reports from around the park. It would seem prudent before we give the go-ahead to a event which is being requested to happen in 3 weeks, that we find out what happened last year and that we get that determination. I would further point out that the council has not yet had a discussion of how we're going to manage use of marijuana in our city once it becomes legal. And we have a big question about whether the police are going to enforce anything ever anywhere. Last year we had the and maybe we're going to decide we haven't. We're not going to. But to have an event like this happening in 3 weeks without having that discussion seems a little imprudent to me. Last year, the documentation is that 4 police were there on overtime. If it's a larger event this year and there may be more public expectation that indeed this is a place to come and use and buy, I think that gives significant challenges in terms of both park oversight and police oversight. I don't know if the organizers have already contracted with their $12,000 security manager this year. It seems like that would be challenging to bring an event like this together in that amount of time.
Commissioner Fritz, I appreciate what you just said. And I guess, it goes back to the question I have about this proceeding and our role. The questions that may remain open are answers to were there arrests, was there documented impaired driving, were there drug overdoses, these kinds of things. If the issue before us in this hearing is whether there's an unreasonable risk to public safety, I believe it's incumbent on the Bureau to present that evidence today. I mean, those are central to us understanding whether there's an unreasonable risk. If the Bureau needs a few days to assemble that, and we still have an opportunity to rule on this, yay or nay, and at a time when the organizers still have a go no go, I'm happy to receive that information. But I don't think that information was irrelevant to this proceeding.
The question is whether or not the permit was complied with. Last year, the discussion was whether or not Hempstalk could provide a festival at which there would be no marijuana use. It's very clear that didn't happen. And park staff did hear from the stage the admonition to not smoke within the festival and to go outside.
Okay, well... Commissioner Saltzman, any other comments that you'd like to make before we see if we want to take a motion on this?
I'm ready to make a motion to grant the appeal.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Then we'll take a roll call vote on a motion to accept the appeal. I'm sorry, to grant the appeal and therefore overturn the Parks Bureau's denial of the permit.
Saltzman.
Well, in granting the appeal, I fully expect that the conditions that applied to the 2014 permit would be in effect for the 2015 event, that security and all that would be in place. I do think that with respect to any impetus to buy marijuana at this event is soon to be history. There is no incentive or reason for people to buy illegally when they can buy it legally in a few days after the event. I do think that, you know, smoking is smoking, and you can go to the Blues Festival, you can go to Music Fest, you can go to Beer Fest, whatever. You'll find smoking going on there, and I think there's, you know, I think the sponsors, you know, I think everybody's acted in goodwill. I, you know, accept what the parks feel and the police have to say. I believe these people too, though. I think they did take all efforts to try to eliminate smoking of marijuana. It's just not going to happen. And to set up a high bar and penalize only this event for it not happening is an inconsistent, as I said earlier, sort of a double standard to me. So I think that while you could probably say that maybe the conditions of the 2014 event may have been violated, I think it's time to sort of let bygones be bygones, try to bring some goodwill between parks, Hempstock, and let's make this event work and work as well as it can for the public. And that's why I say let's give it another shot.
Yeah. Everybody vote, please. Go ahead.
Fritz.
This is really making public policy on the fly. It's clear to me that the permit conditions were not complied with. That was the one chance to see if it could be done without the use of marijuana at the festival. That didn't happen. And I am really sorry for my park staff who are now going to be putting together an event at the same weekend as Dragon Boat Racing, and at the same time that we have rampant problems throughout our park system, in the North Park blocks, in Colonel Summers Park, in the East Portland parks, where people are killing each other or certainly doing very dangerous behaviors, that to then be asked to dedicate resources to this event. We'll have some interesting discussions over the next few weeks, 3 weeks, Mayor, as to what the police are going to do to take care of illegal behavior, because obviously our park staff are not, we don't have the capacity nor the authority to do that. No.
Fish.
Well, I appreciate this hearing, and I appreciate the effort we're all putting into trying to find the right path forward. This is a very close call for me, because I think there is evidence of the kind of conduct at this event which is inconsistent with the permit, and particularly if they're minors, and we've heard from a number of people that there are young people at this event. I think we have to bend over backwards to provide for the public health and safety. That said, I don't believe on the record before us I have a basis to sustain the action at the Bureau. So I'm going to vote to overturn the appeal. Excuse me, to grant the appeal. Getting a little. So I'm going to support the motion to grant the appeal. But here's my plea to the organizers. This is not the first public hearing we've had on this, and there's a lot of attention now on this event. And a number of organizers in the community have come forward and said, we are committed to running the event consistent with the city's rules and laws. And if the council decides to extend the privilege to you to hold this event, we expect you to honor the commitment that you have made in this hearing. And if, following this event, there is substantial evidence that is documented that the organizers, for whatever reason, have been unable to comply with the permit, it's going to be, I think, highly unlikely that this council acts favorably on the next time there is an appeal before us. So I urge you to go the extra mile to earn the trust that you have said that we can trust, and to make sure this event is consistent with the rules that we've established and the expectations of the public in Portland. And I hope you take that very seriously, because you're asking the council in this instance to take a little bit of a leap of faith. And you've made some very clear representations about your commitment to honoring the rules that the Parks Bureau has established. And I will grant this appeal with the clear understanding that we've established here today that you will do your utmost to comply with the conditions established by the city. Aye.
Ailes?
Well, thank you all, and thanks, Parks Bureau, for all the good work that you do in the community. Commissioner Fritz, under your leadership, this Bureau is doing great things. I'm going to support this decision because, again, the park system ought to have big shoulders. It ought to accommodate lots of different activities and then hold people to reasonable standards for how those events are managed. And I think it's very important that our standards be consistent from one kind of event to another, for what we expect in terms of public safety and the convenience of the public who may not be attending the event, and other common sense criteria like that. And it sounds to me, and again, I didn't get a chance to go by this event myself last year. This year I will, because it always helps to see it yourself. Sounds like this event was imperfect. It sounds like there were some people smoking marijuana there, even though the organizers were obviously consistently telling people not to do that. It sounds like there may have been some sales of marijuana or marijuana products at the event. That's not okay. And the organizers endeavored to not have that happen. That was imperfect. Some of it happened. I'm the police commissioner. I have not heard from the police bureau that there was a significant public safety risk posed by this event. I've heard no reports of 911 calls, no reports of medical emergencies, of somebody over-consuming medibles, for example, which is a concern that the police bureau is very worried about, because people could do that and drive a motor vehicle and hurt somebody, and I'm afraid that's going to become commonplace. But I'm not hearing that. I don't see any adjacent property owners in this room today saying, for God's sake, don't let this event come back because it was a terrible burden for the neighborhood. They're not here. So I have to assume from their absence that this was not a big problem for the neighboring property owners, because they believe me, people show up when they have a complaint around here. Tonight's last Thursday. It will be imperfect. There will be laws broken at last Thursday. And we will have the police bureau there, and they will exercise good judgment and discretion. There are laws that we all need to make sure are strictly enforced, like you shouldn't have a gun and you shouldn't shoot at your fellow citizen, and that happened at a last Thursday. And yet last Thursday continues because it's a valid public event and a much loved community gathering. So we have to exercise good judgment and a sense of scale and how big the problem is when we say yes and no to public activities, whether it's last Thursday or this one. So again, I know this was an imperfect hemp fest last year. It will probably still be imperfect this year, but we are going to hold you to a high standard. We are going to ask you to work in cooperation with the Parks Bureau and the Police Bureau, and I'll make sure that is the police commissioner, and we'll ask them to work in cooperation with you so that this thing is a success. So we wish you well. We're holding you to high standards, and I'll come by myself and get it for 10 days. Thank you very much, and we're adjourned.